I'm here today with you guys to share a message, standing in the gap for my pastor. He's on vacation, a well-due, overdue vacation. I think he said it's been 2 years since he's been on vacation, so well-deserved and well, yes, and we hope that they're having a great time of enjoyment, entertainment, refreshing, and that they get re-energized and come back to us. If any of you guys don't know our pastor personally, you should get to know him. I mean, he's a fine individual, a man of God, completely sold out. Amen. Yes, he is. He's there. And I have no problem telling you we should follow him as he followed Jesus. Amen. Because he's all about the business of the Lord. That's it. Him and his family both, they're just great, great, great folk. And we're blessed to be here. I am very blessed to be here. Amen. Amen. Before I get into the message today, we're going to have a prayer. We're going to pray that God will visit us, touch our hearts. And so we won't leave here the same way. That's the intent. We don't want to come and go and come and go and come and go and don't see some evidence that we've been here, right? Amen. We're going to ask God to come in, all right? Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus, humbly as we know how. Lord God, laying aside all pretense, all pride. Lord God, we come humbly, desiring to be filled from on high. We want your word, Lord God. We want all that you have for us today. We pray your precious Holy Spirit that you'll walk among us, that you speak to our hearts, Father God. Speak, Holy Spirit, and keep on talking. We are listening. You are welcome in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When I was putting together this message, I was trying to determine what we will use for a title, and I come up on a question. We got a question here for our title today. Okay. Question is, who are you? And how do you see yourself? We put it in the plural, is who are we? And how do we see ourselves? You know, our names that we have individually, it's a good thing to have to distinguish between ourselves. But in God's economy, we need to know who we are, whose we are, where we fit, and what we should be doing. Amen? There's three things we're going to consider here in determining who we are and whose we are. One, first one is the arena. The arena that we are talking about today is the kingdom. Where there's a kingdom, it speaks of a king. And we know our Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wherever his kingdom reign, wherever he have influence, that's the kingdom. We need to know the institution. The institution is the church. God said, I'll build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We can stand on these things, brothers and sisters. Lastly, we need to know the position that we stand in as children of God. Amen? The word Christianity should never be used as a noun, but a verb. We can't really just sit at home and watch a good service on TV and be an effective Christian. Neither can we come to church, listen to a service here, turn around and go back home same way and be a Christian, an effective Christian. Amen? We got to add some doing, brothers and sisters. James chapter 1, verse 22 should be on your screen. Let's read that together. Amen? But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Amen. That's come from God, straight from God. Don't just be hearers, be doers. We got to put a little do into our Christianity. Okay? We're going to use the Old Testament a lot today to show us some things that we can gain some perspective from, okay? We're going to show one thing, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. I got three scenarios here we're going to look at briefly. I'm going to go through them kind of quickly and briefly. But I got some handouts down here that I strongly suggest, that everybody get one of them. It got the scriptures that these things you can go to and read them for yourselves. And I got a word up top that comes from my devotion that's very pertinent to the message today. So sitting right here on the table, I ask you to pick up one before you leave. Go with you, okay? The first guy we're going to talk about here is Gideon. Gideon was afraid and cowardly at the time. And the angel of the Lord came to him. Gideon was afraid because there was a group of people called the Midianites. Midianites, they were running roughshod over Israel. They were really treating them bad. They had beat up on them several times. And they were just causing a whole lot of heartache for Israel. Matter of fact, Israel would plant their crops and their vineyards. During the harvest season, they would come down and run them off and take all their goods and everything. And Israel was about to go under, you know. But this angel of the Lord spoke to Gideon. Gideon was down there hiding in the threshing floor, trying to thresh out a little wheat for his family to have bread. And the angel come up to Gideon and said, "Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor." Gideon said, "Who, me?" He said, "Israel is weak." He said, "Our clan, the weakest clan in Israel. And I am the least in my father's house." But the angel had spoken to him. When the angel finished speaking to him, Gideon saw himself differently. He found out who he was, where he stood, and whose he was. If you know this story, Gideon got up, dusted himself off, and went and fortified his army and got everybody on the same page. And they defeated the Midianites. They tore down their altars. That's right. All of their high places. And finished them. Gideon knew he could do it, but he didn't know he could do it in himself. But when he seen himself as a child of God, the extension of God's right hand, it built up something in him. God is able to do that for us today, ladies and gentlemen. The next scenario is David. David, he wasn't king yet. He was just a little shepherd. He was keeping the sheep for his father. I think like about 16 or 17 years old. And his father sent him out to the war front because right at that time, Israel was battling with the Philistines. You know, Israel always been surrounded by enemies. Even right today, they're surrounded by their enemies. Nothing has changed with them, okay? And when David got there, he had Goliath over there making a big ruckus and cursing and carrying on and kicking up dust and said, wanted King Saul. King Saul was intimidated too. You know, he said, "Send a man down here to fight with me. And if I prevail, we will rule over you and you will be our servants." He said, "But if he prevail, you will rule over us and we will be your slaves." And nobody would go because they were afraid. Why? Because all they seen was themselves. See, they knew their own weaknesses. They knew their sins. They knew where they had failed before. But that's because they was in their own strength and dealing with their own mind. But now, when David come down, David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" He didn't have no relationship with God. He said, "I'll fight him." 17-year-old boy. He said, "David, you're just a little boy. This guy's a giant. This guy's been warring for years." David said, "He come at me with sword and spear, but I come at him in the name of the Lord." And ran at him, ran to him. You know that shook him up solid with. But anyway, he threw that slingshot, hit him right between the eyes and knocked him down. First chance now. That's how God do things, see? And David didn't even have a sword. He went and took Saul's own sword and cut his head off because he had God on his side. See, David knew that God was on his side. He knew he was there. David had already killed a bear and a lion that was attacking his sheep. He knew he didn't do it in himself. See, that man knew where he was standing. He knew who he was. He knew who he belongs to. Amen. And he was victorious with God. And lastly, there's three little Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. Nebuchadnezzar was a king at the time, and he was a evil king. And he had come up with this image, graven image, and wanted everybody in Israel to bow down to his image. Amen. These three little Hebrew boys weren't going to do it. So some of Nebuchadnezzar's men brought word to him that these boys won't bear him down. So he called an assembly, got all of them together now. I mean, it's a mob out there. He said, listen, when you hear the music playing, all y'all bow down and worship my image. And the music started playing. And all these folks bowing down, except three little Hebrew boys standing up down the crowd like sore thumbs. Yes, indeed. They knew where they were standing. Nebuchadnezzar said, bring them down here. Brought them down here and said, listen, guys, so y'all must all know who I am. I can throw y'all in this fiery furnace. You know, the three Hebrew boys in unison said, O king, our God is able to deliver us. But if he don't, we still ain't going to bow down to your word and worship your image. They knew where they were standing. See, they knew that God was with them. God had told us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's his word. That's his word. God, don't use words lightly. Words mean something. And so these Hebrew boys knew. They knew. And he went about calling his men to throw them in the furnace. He stoked that furnace 7 times hotter than it was. I mean, he opened up the flame to throw the boys in. The flame even killed the boys, killed the guys that threw them in. He said, didn't we throw 3 in here? That thing was cherry red, you could see in it. He said, I see 4. And one of them looked like the Son of God. So God was right there. He never leave them boys. He never did forsake them. He's a man of his word. God, if God say it, we can trust in it. We can believe it. Amen? And see, we need to know them things. We need to know them for several reasons. Because they'll empower you. They'll give you momentum, you know, to stand on that. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to know these things, brothers and sisters, because it's a war going on today. It's a war going on. And it's coming for the hearts of our children, for the souls of our families, for our nation, and for our land. And it's live and well. And it's not against flesh and blood, brothers and sisters. It's against spiritual powers and wickedness and evil and darkness. And it's coming, see? And it's coming. Coming for our religious freedom, coming for our constitutional rights, and our right to life. And I'll tell you the truth, what we need to do is be very honest and truthful here. That's what's required, see? Jesus is the truth, is the way, is the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Jesus, okay? Yes, and the thing is, we know that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning and the father of lies. Jesus Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? And about this sincerity and this truth I'm talking about, some of us Christians, well-meaning Christians, don't even realize there's a war going on. Hallelujah. It's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. And there's many others of us that just feel so inadequate. We think the problem is just too big. We think that it's hopeless. We can't do nothing about it. But we just read about things that look impossible to people back in their day. Things that look impossible, just overwhelming. But God, ladies and gentlemen, that's how we need to see this thing. Okay? Without God, we can do nothing. You know? But I ask you again, who are we? And how do we see ourselves? These, like David, Gideon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a third one here that I didn't mention is Esther. You know, wicked Haman had hatched this plan to destroy the Israelites. And Esther had an uncle named Mordecai. And Mordecai told Esther, you got to go in and share this with the king. Esther said, if I go in there and see the king and he don't welcome me, I can lose my life. Mordecai said, listen, you came to the kingdom for such a time as this. Yeah. Then she found out who she was. She found out where she stood. And she found out who she was. And she said, if I perish, I perish. But she's going to go. Amen. That's the kind of power and strength that our God can give us. When you know who you are, whose you are, and where you stand. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. This is our day. This is our generation. This is our watch. See, we can't be of a service in any other generation. We were born for such a time as this. Who are we? How do we see ourselves? Yes, indeed. Now, as far as situation looking impossible, overwhelming, and hopeless, let's look back in Scripture again. Let's see how some of our ancestors and our brothers and sisters handled their hopeless mountains that stood in front of them. Okay? Let's remember one thing now. What we have that God give us to work with. God has given us the kingdom influence all over this land. There's churches and there's Christians. We just need to come together. We just need to be You need to come into the body of Christ and be a oneness. Use a oneness in our approach and how we go about things. Amen? And as a church, God said, I establish my church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We have that, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus went about establishing. He came here to establish the church. Paid for it with his blood and his body. Church is powerful, built on that rock. And the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And our positions are Christians. Amen? Now listen. You think about it. Group of fish going together, going the same way, you call them a school. Right? Cattle, all horses, all together going the same direction, you call them a herd. Right? A group of people all gathered around, all together. Without Christ, you call them a mob. Amen? But if you got Christ, you got Jesus, you are the church, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we are. Together, we are powerful. We are the church of God. The gates of hell will not prevail against us, okay? Hey, and Christians, let me tell you something. We were first called Christians in Antioch, a place when the church first began, when Jesus first established the church, Paul and Peter and Silas were going about preaching and establishing the church. And at first, they were called children of the way. Of the way. What way? The way of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And these followers were following Jesus. And they were happy. They were going house to house and breaking bread. And it was said in Antioch, oh, how they love one another. Amen? Oh, how they love one another. They were called children of the way. Now they changed that name because of that love that they had to Christians. Amen. They say, oh, how they love one another. This is very important, brothers and sisters. This is very important. We need to love one another because we're all in this thing together. We're all in this together. And God knows that we're the church. He said we'll do greater things than he's done when he was here because of our numbers, because we're together, because we're the church, because we're the body of Christ. We're actually his extension here on earth, an extension of his mighty right hand, brothers and sisters. We need to know who we are and where we stand and whose we are. Amen. He's given us a position as Christians. Romans 8:14, I don't have it up, I don't think, but what it states is, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If we receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What a position, huh? What a position. See, it's all in the spirit, brothers and sisters. The spirit. We need to work in the spirit world. Amen. Where that's power. Yes. Now, to this mountain of difficulty that we seem to see in front of us. Amen. It seems to be almost impossible. Seems to be overwhelming and even hopeless many times. But God in the situation make it doable. Yes. Let's look at a few instances back in the Old Testament again of people that had this overwhelming mountain standing in front of them, this impossibility. Let's see what they did to handle the situation in their day. We can learn from this, ladies and gentlemen. God's the same. Let's look at the widow of Zarephath, her and her son. When the scene opened up, they were out gathering sticks to go in and cook their last meal. All they had, they said, we're going to go in and cook this meal, eat it, and die. And the prophet Elijah come up on them and asked them what they were doing, and then when he told them exactly what he was doing, he said, what you got left? That's what's important, see. What you got left? He said, all I got is a little handful of flour and a little oil in a jar. Elijah was standing in the place of God. He was God's representative. He said, first, make me a little cake, and then you and your son go and eat. Hallelujah. Wasn't that what he said? And you all know the story. That flour bin never ran empty, and the oil never ran dry. The whole time was a famine going on. But God, what you got, put it in the hands of God. Ain't nothing but a seed. If you know, in the hand of God, look what a little oak or seed turns into, right? Once you put it in the ground, you don't know what's going on. God takes over. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, it is now. Yeah. All that story was there for our benefit. Yes. What about the hungry multitude? Over 5,000 men, plus women and children, and they were hungry. Jesus said, feed them. He said, how are we going to feed them? All these people here. See, we had 500 denarii, we couldn't get enough food to feed these people. Jesus said, what you got among you? Didn't he?
Right.
What you got? What you got left? He said, we got this little boy here, got a lunch. 3 fish and 5 barley loaves. He said, get them here. He took them. As God can do, bless them and broke them. He said, pass it out. Fed 5,000 people plus women and children and had 12 to-go baskets left over. That's what God can do. That's what God can do. It seemed impossible to them, right? That's right. And God's people was in bondage down to Pharaoh, right? Seemed impossible that they ever get out. It was in bondage. They'd been there for years. God chose a man named Moses to go down and deliver them. Moses said, who am I? How can I do this? He said, I stutter. I can't even talk good. Right? God said, what you got in your hand, Moses?
That's right.
Moses said, that's my staff. That's right. God said, throw it down. Hallelujah. He threw it down and turned into a snake. He said, pick it up. It turned back into a staff again, right? We know what Moses did with that staff, don't we? Moses touched the water in Egypt and it turned to blood. That was a plague for Egypt. Amen. Moses took that same staff, hit a rock in the desert, and water gushed out of it. People was thirsty, and they had plenty of water to drink. And Moses took that staff again and held out over the Red Sea, and the water departed. Here Moses got Pharaoh behind him, chasing him and his whole army, and the sea in front of him. Looked impossible. His mountain looked almost overwhelming. Huh? But God. Stuck that rod out over that water, and the water departed, and they went through on dry land. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He haven't failed yet. He haven't failed yet. I choose to believe in God. That's right. You know, last time, you know, that's what God would do for his people, his children. You know, last time I left a message, I was here, I shared a message with y'all, if y'all remember, was about what God desired to have his people, and he wanted to be their God. We shared all that God went through to make this happen. And we left that message, we ended with Jacob. Jacob being down there, and he had been pursued. He came at the end of himself, that would happen. He knew he couldn't do anything anymore. He had to depend on God. His brother was looking for him, wanted to kill him. His uncle, Laban, was chasing him from the back, wanted to kill him. So here he is down there praying. He sent half of his entourage on to meet Esau to kind of soften him up with gold and silver and all these things. So maybe he wouldn't feel so, maybe lose some of his anger, right? Maybe he won't be so angry when they meet. Y'all know the story. And he got down and prayed. He had came to the end of himself. He prayed that night, and the angel of God came to him, wrestled with him. That's what it says. It's called in scripture. He said, and he told Jacob, "Let me go." Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." He said, "What's your name?" He said, "Name Jacob." He said, "No longer your name will be Israel." And that was the first time we heard the word Israel even uttered. Israel. And Jacob, we know that God had gave the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would have his family through them. And Jacob became the head of Israel. His 12 sons became the head of the 12 tribes of Israel. Hallelujah. 12 tribes of Israel is the whole nation of Israel. And Jacob had 12 sons, and the fourth son was Judah. Jesus came down through the line. He was the lion that came down through the tribe of Judah. 42 generations later, Jesus came on the scene, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And he declared that now, as no respecter of person, no Jew nor Gentile, no slave nor free, not even male or female. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're Abraham's seed and you're heirs to the promise. That's how you become a child of God. Jesus is the way. He made the way. He said, if you're in Christ Jesus, we all are children of God, part of his body. There is no separation. Hallelujah. He has given us the right. Some scriptures said the power to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, let's look at John 1, 11, and 12. It should be on the screen. Ready? Let's read it. But he came into his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, those who believe on his name. Amen. Some translations said to give the power to become children of God. But either way, that's how we get in. We got to follow the Spirit. You're after the Spirit of God. That's what's controlling us today. If we are given to God, He can communicate with you through the Spirit. He can lead you through the Spirit. He can empower you through the Spirit. We need to stay connected, brothers and sisters, to the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So, what do we have left? You know, just like the widow, she had the little flower and the little oil. Just like Moses, he had his rod. What do we have left? That's what we got to worry about. We can't worry about what we done lost. We can't worry about what we don't have. We can't worry about what we done failed at before. That's not important now. That's right. We got to look at what we got. Jesus has given us the church. We are the body of Christ. He's given us the kingdom. We got the keys to the kingdom. And we are believers. There are believers all over the land. And believers is a position that we stand in. Hallelujah. Position that we stand in. I liken position of a Christian kind of like a baseball player. You know, baseball player, if you tell me you're a baseball player, I want to know what team you're on. Because can't nobody play baseball by themselves. If you're a player, you're going to be on a team. Is that right? Hallelujah. Christian the same way. If you're a Christian, You got to be on a team. Hallelujah. This man would ask me what team I own. I said, well, I worship at Calvary's Love. Me and all my brothers and sisters come here. We corporately worship at Calvary's Love. But I belong to the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. He died for it. He gave his blood for it. He gave his body for it. That's the church we belong to. We need to see it that way. We need to love one another. Okay? You all agree with me? You going to follow me on a little further? Let's go. Let's go. You see, we're an extension of God's right hand in the earth. He left us here on a mission. He left Adam and Eve when they first put them in the garden. He told them to have dominion. We need to go about having dominion. And it's not by power, and it's not by might, it's by his spirit, ladies and gentlemen. By his spirit. See, as Christians, what do we have? We got a voice. We all got a voice. We are the only creatures on this planet that use words. Words are containers of power. Look what God done with his word. He created the whole universe. All that we can see and do, that's the power of truth in his word. Adam, before he fell, him and Eve was given the chore to name all the creatures on the earth and in the sea. And a dog is still a dog today because Adam called them a dog. It's the power of our words, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and we got to be clear about the truth. You know, because darkness and evil is all over the land. And they tried to pretty things up with pretty words. But the words, don't let them trick you. We can't stand for that. We can't allow that to change our mind or change our stand or our voice, you know. That's like pro-choice and pro-life. Pro-choice. They're trying to dress something up there, ladies and gentlemen. They're trying to dress something up there. I will tell them I am pro-life, and my God despised the shedding of innocent blood. That's where I stand. Pro-life, and my God despised the shedding of innocent blood. There are seven things that he hates, and one of them is the shedding of innocent blood. You can read about them, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we got to be able to see through the schemes and the wiles of the devil, right? You know, you take now people, some of them are gay. Gay, implies happy, joy, and stuff like that. You know, I wouldn't fall for that. They're trying to hide the ugly with a pretty word. Huh? They're homosexuals. That's what they are. There's nothing derogative about a homosexual. God's way is heterosexual. Homosexual, heterosexual, nothing derogatory about it, but it does accurately describe the difference. Very accurately describe the difference. That's truth, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Yeah, am I right about that? Hallelujah. And another, you know, so there's many things that got to come down the line that our enemy deceive you. Right? We got to stand against that. We got to crave truth. We got to desire truth. We got to go after truth. Nothing but the truth. Tell me the truth. Problem we have is deception and lies all over the land. They're pushing down our throat. That's right. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, brothers and sisters. It's principalities and powers and rules of darkness and evil in high places. And let me tell you something. Men and women fall under the control of this darkness when they think they can do life independent of God. That's where it comes from. When you think you can do this in life and don't need God, you're setting yourself up. We need God in our life. Hallelujah. Because the darkness is all around us. It's all around us. We got to remember that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's the father of lies. And a lot of what he uses is lies and trickery, deception. You got to be able to stand and see the difference in it, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Jesus came to seek and save the lost and to destroy the works of the devil. You see, in the kingdom of God, where God has influence, there is safety, there is influence, there is wisdom, and there is momentum. See, most anything we have in the world It can be used for good or it can be used for evil. You take the TV, that little box of TV, perfect example. There are many people without the Spirit of God are putting all kinds of things on TV that's not good for the body of Christ, not good for us as Christians, and not good for us as humans. But you don't have God controlling you. All you have to then is money. All they have to is money. And the root of, you know, and the love of money is the root of all evil. But also a TV can be used for the kingdom of God. And it's being used for the kingdom of God. Amen? You got stations on there like TBN and Daystar that's preaching the gospel and sharing the good news 24/7. 24/7, you can tune into them anytime. You can see the kingdom influence in there. Amen. TBN is one of the bigger and better, I'd say, stations out there. And how this thing come to be is Christians were supporting, putting the money together, and they got satellites all over the place. These stations, and many of them. And they're broadcasting this good news. They're broadcasting the gospel. They're telling you what's going on in the world, here in the United States, and all around the globe. It's out there, ladies and gentlemen. We got to seek the kingdom. We got to operate inside the kingdom. You know, you got great messages going on in there. You got guys like Greg Laurie, David Jeremiah, Pastor Alan Jackson, Charlie Cameron. Charlie Cameron, he's really preaching that we should homeschool our children. You know, because our schools now, they're more about indoctrinating than it is about educating. They're pushing doggone theories down our children's throat that's driving them away from God. You send your kid off to college and they come back, they don't know anything about God anymore all of a sudden because of what they're being taught. Turn your minds to mush. You don't know what's right, you don't know what's wrong. You know? You got to be careful about where you put your attention, where you look. You know, there's so much going on in the kingdom of God that we can support, we can get behind. We don't have to reinvent this wheel. We can prayerfully support different group things that's going on. You can financially support them, and we can make a difference, ladies and gentlemen, if we see ourselves as the body of Christ. Yeah. There's a group out there that you see, they're called the SEAL Pack. It's 12 battle-tested soldiers that have been in war, from brigadier general on down to captain. They put their body in harm's way. They love this nation. They love the Constitution, and they're running for Congress. And these are the kind of people that we can support. Prayerfully, first of all, and financially, if God leads you to. You pray, God will tell you who to get behind, what effort to, you know, to energize as the body of Christ, as the kingdom. Together, ladies and gentlemen, if we see ourselves as Christians and as a force in this earth, we can make a difference. Hallelujah. Yeah. Many ways. You got a group, a show that comes on called Jewish Voice, International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Blessing Israel. God said, I'll bless those who bless Israel, and I'll curse those who curse Israel. We can choose to support that effort. There's many other efforts going on. You know, this ACLJ, have you ever heard of that group? American Center for Law and Justice. It's led by a guy named Jay Sekulow. And they're in the Supreme Court all the time, arguing and pushing for the rights of religious freedom, constitutional rights, and life. They're the very ones that was able to overturn this Roe versus Wade in the court. They proved that there's nothing in the Constitution guaranteeing an abortion right. Nothing in the Constitution that guarantees your right to abortion. But they've been putting that, that's a smokescreen. They've been pushing that so long that you almost believe it. Just like the separation of church and state, that's not in our Constitution. Nothing in the Constitution says something about the church, separation of church and state. I'm telling you, Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and he's pushing over out on society today. You got Mike Huckabee that got a program on, come on, 8 o'clock on Saturday nights, I think sometimes Friday and Saturday night. But he's keeping you abreast of the trickery that's going on in Washington, D.C. They're always trying to do something underhanded on the scene, like using presidential executive orders to do things that you don't have to vote on. Look up and they're already there. They ain't there to hinder you. You got things going on behind the scene now that you got to shine a light on. You got to shine a spotlight on them, okay? And they're doing that sort of thing that we can get behind and we can. There's many great initiatives, though, brothers and sisters. Many great initiatives that we can, if we know, if we're informed, if we're following the kingdom, that we can get behind and support and make a difference, okay? Radio, the gospel station on the radio that's really keeping you informed. I keep mine on Truth Network. I don't know if y'all ever heard of it. Truth Network is 97.7 on the dial. But it's always keeping you informed and telling you what's going on and give you reason to have hope. And because we together as the body of Christ, I thank God intend for us to occupy. He intend for us to have dominion. Amen. But we don't need to get separated. We don't need to be separated. We need to be united and operating inside the kingdom. See, these things keep you plugged in to what God is doing in these days, in these latter days, in the kingdom. Amen. See, it's okay to watch some entertainment and maybe game or something on TV. There's nothing wrong with watching a little of that. But first, ladies and gentlemen, first, seek ye the kingdom of God. Am I right about that? Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yes, look, you cut TV on, think about what God would want you to look at, what he wants you to do, and what's going on. Because the kingdom of God is what we need to be seeking. Where we need to operate at. Kingdom of God is our tool that we need to use in this day. And one of the last things I wanted to mention that we have left is our power of agreement. There's power in agreement. God said, wherever two or three assemble themselves on one accord in my name, there I'll be in the midst. So we can call a brother or sister, we can come together, and we can agree on a thing. We can establish it. We can pray for our family members to get saved, that they might have ears to hear. We can pray for what movement going on, the guys that are putting themselves out there to accomplish. We can get behind them and support them. The different things we can do in agreement. We come together in agreement, and we agree together while we're praying, and we go home praying the same way. We get up praying the same way. See, prayers touch the heart of God. You reach over, you look over in Revelation, you find a scene where God have all these bowls. And you come to find out what's in the bowls? The prayers of the saints. That's how important it is to him. You look at our God, he's up there, he's running the universe, he's making everything work, he's doing all this stuff. Look, certain things grab his attention. When you're praying from the heart, you get God's attention. When you praying and it comes straight from your heart, God looks at the heart. Men look at the outside. God looks at your heart. He stopped what he's doing. Somebody's praying. Somebody needs my attention. So that's prayers are important, but I'm mentioning here now, I say we can use our power of agreement and we can use the power of prayer. Okay? You see, words say, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Amen. All you folks that are computer savvy, that do Twitter or Facebook, you can pray that God will give you some anointed words to use, some anointed phrases to use, some anointed scriptures to put out there, communications to put out there. You'd be surprised what kind of likes you might get. Who might befriend you? You might make a difference. We can use anything we got as long as you put God in it. What you got left, ladies and gentlemen, pray. That's right. You'd be surprised what God can do when you put your heart in it. In your general conversations, and you're going out and you're coming in, make your stand. Let people know where you stand. Let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. Go about doing good, letting your little light shine. Hallelujah. Staying connected to Jesus. See, he is the true vine, and we are the branches. If we abide in him, we will produce much fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing. It's written, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, they can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Amen. Lastly, I want to tell you, we can pray and vote. We can pray and vote. It's a Christian right. It's a Christian responsibility to represent the kingdom in your vote. I don't think any of us want to stand in front of God declaring that we voted for someone that's for shedding innocent blood. Let it affect your vote, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think I want to stand in front of God saying I represent somebody that want to use marriage as any other thing other than what God instituted. God instituted marriage. He created the first marriage when he put Adam and Eve together. This is our example. On where it's gotten to now. Pretty soon people be marrying their own animals. Right? Hey, right down the road. Right down the road. Another thing, ladies and gentlemen, if you want lock entrances on your house, you should want lock entrances on the borders of your land. It ain't because of the people, the race, the color, none. It's not about that. Are they bringing Jesus in with them? Are they bringing Jesus in with them, or are they trying to carry us away from Jesus? See, you know, you remember when God had the Israelites and he went out to a land, he said, look, don't go down there mingling with them people with their other gods. They're going to take you away. Don't be getting involved in that sort of thing. But hey, our country now, we don't know who we are anymore because we're not staying connected. We're not operating in the kingdom. We even had a president say that we're no longer a Christian nation. It hurt my heart. It hurt my heart. Because we've been blessed here. We have been blessed here. So, brothers and sisters, let's stay connected. Because all it takes for evil to persist is for good people to do nothing. Amen. Amen. Now I say that God bless you. God keep you. God make his face shine upon you. That God will give you his peace, his shalom peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Church, I thank you for being with me. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. I'm hoping it will empower you. I'm hoping it causes you to see yourself differently. See who you are, whose you are, and where you stand. Thank you for your time. The worshipers, y'all can come on back and take over. Amen.